There was a young woman who was just learning to drive. She's in Minnesota. It was cold, it was snowy, and her dad had given her some good advice. He'd said, if you're stuck in a snowstorm, wait for a snowplow and follow it. So she was stuck there in that snowstorm, not knowing what to do, and she saw breaking through the snow the lights of a snowplow. So she pulled out, got behind him, and began following him. And it was rough. He swung to the right, he swung to the left, went around in circles, backed up a little, swung to the left, swung to the right. Finally, after hours, the driver stopped and got out of his car, came back to her. He said, lady, why are you following me? And she said, well, my dad told me if I ever got stuck in a snowstorm to follow a snowplow. And he said, well, okay, I just finished the Target parking lot. Do you want to follow me to Best Buy? You see, we're all looking for someone to follow. That's the word that you hear most today. Follow me. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me here. Follow me there. Everyone wants us to follow. Everyone wants us to see what they're doing to be one of their followers. Because, well, that's the thing to do. That's how you earn profits. That's how you earn popularity. Follow me. You see, Satan's tactics haven't changed since the beginning. It's always been about doing it your way, being your own master, being God-like. You know, Satan told Adam and Eve, he said, did God really say that? Did he really say, don't touch this, don't eat of this, don't do that? Did he really say that? Because he knows that if you do those things, that you'll be like him. And he doesn't want that. He wants to hold you back. That was always Satan's tactic. Is God wants to hold you back, what you really need is to be your own person, to be God-like on your own. And that hasn't changed. Satan may be many things, but one thing he's not is original. He always uses the same tactic. And why? Because it works. It's worked from the beginning and it works now. People want to be their own person, not have someone tell them what to do, not have to have someone hold them back, not realizing that everything that God told us was for a reason, everything that God told us was for a purpose, for our own benefit, for our own growth. You see, the world today is an unprecedented time of defiance and striving to be the master of everything. And preachers get a lot of flack for this. Preachers get a lot of flack when they start these whole end days talk, or they talk about unprecedented times. A lot of people say, well, they've been saying that for thousands of years. Every couple hundred years, they talk about how we're in these extraordinary times. Well, let me give you something to think about. Perhaps you've never thought of this before. One great example of the way in which man is trying to be more master of everything, more like God, is when man begins to try to be everywhere at once, when man tries to be more all-knowing, more omniscient. Think about space for a minute. That's a great example of man's achievement, is to think about space. 2,000 years ago, how many satellites did we have in orbit? Zero. 1,000 years ago, how many satellites did we have in orbit? Zero. 100 years ago, how many? 70 years ago. In 65 years, we put 8,261 active satellites in orbit. Think about that for a minute, and then tell me that we are not in unprecedented times. In less than 30 years, we have connected the entire Earth, for the most part, with video communication, audio communication, and text communication, so that people can connect instantaneously across the entire world. Now, did they see that coming at the Tower of Babel? You see, we are definitely in times that aren't like anything that were experienced in the last 1,000 years, in the last 100 years, in the last 70 years. Something to think about when you give the preacher flack for talking about unprecedented times. You see, Satan's mantra about being more godlike is more attractive. But Jesus' direction has always been very simple. Follow me. In Matthew 9:9, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. You see, Jesus said, follow me. Let me do the teaching. Rely on me. Get up from what you're doing and follow me. And again, in Matthew 4:18 through 22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You see, the world looks for the biggest, the brightest, the popular, those who can make the biggest impression online, or those who have the best hair, or those who are the most attractive. Jesus looked for those who were willing. Jesus walked by, he saw a tax collector. They were real popular in those days. He saw a tax collector and he said, follow me. I've got a use for you. I've got things that you can do. He saw people out there fishing, dirty, grubby people out there doing the common man's work. And he said, that's just what I need. Come with me. Follow me. You see, Jesus was looking for those who were willing. In John 10:27, he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You see, Jesus has smart sheep. Now, I know what you're thinking. Sheep are not known for being very intelligent creatures. But Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep know me. I know them. They follow me. Jesus said, I have intelligent sheep. I have sheep who recognize what they should do. Now, there's a lot of sheep in this world. A whole lot of sheep. And by that, I mean, there's a lot of the other type of sheep. People who just follow blindly anything that's put out there. If someone in a high position, some great leader, someone who's supposedly knows something says it, they follow it. Why? Because they said to do it. That's sheep, but that's not necessarily the type that Jesus was talking about. Those who recognize his voice, those who look for what he's saying to do. And then there's some that are just too busy to follow, as in Matthew 8:21 through 22. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus was talking about those who were spiritually dead in the world. He said, you're either going to follow me or you're going to get caught up in what everyone else is doing, get caught up in all the matters of the world. In John 8 through verse 12, Jesus said, when he spoke again to the people, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Have you ever noticed how every single day now it seems like something new is coming to the surface about some well-known figure or some political figure? Every day there's something new that's come out. We just discovered this. We just discovered that. Well, that's because when you walk in darkness, you always risk being exposed. When you're keeping things hidden, when things are in the darkness, there's always the risk that at some point they're going to come to the light. And in the last several years, we've seen one thing after another come to light. Because there's so much that's done in the darkness. You always risk exposure. Then there are some that are too tied down to things to follow. As in Mark 10, verse 21 and 22, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This is the rich man that came to Jesus. You see, Jesus said, You're doing so well, but the thing that you lack is you're so tied to what you possess. He wasn't telling the man that anyone who wants to follow me has to have absolutely nothing. They all have to be homeless and poor. What he was telling him was, you're too tied down, so I'm going to ask you to do this, but I know that you're not going to, because what's important to you is your wealth. You see, some are tied to the things of this world and don't want to give it up. They don't want to follow for that reason. Following Jesus also means you probably won't be too terribly popular. That's why I always look at some of these TV evangelists and some of these people who are just wildly popular, insanely popular and known, and everyone loves them, regardless of whether they're Christian or not. And I think, why? Why? Why are they so popular? Do you think that if Jesus were doing a TV evangelist program that he would be wildly popular? Probably among the people who knew, probably among the people who were looking for the truth, but among most, he would have the same reaction that he had when he was on this earth. People hated him. People wanted him dead, especially those that were leaders. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You see, following Jesus means that people are going to hurl insults. People are going to hate you. People are going to not like what you stand for. And it also means living your life in a way that most people won't understand. It's in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. You see, when we talk about spiritual things of God, many people don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's foolishness. Because you have to come to God to understand. You have to give yourself to Him to understand their spiritual things. There's a campaign that I've seen on TV, many commercials recently. It's called the Jesus Gets Us campaign. And the whole idea behind it is showing many different kind of heart-wrenching clips of people, you know, being put down or this and that for different reasons, for their race, perhaps. Sometimes it's their gender identity or this or that. And they're being put down. And it says, Jesus understands. Jesus was derailed by people. Jesus was insulted. Jesus was killed. Jesus gets us. Jesus understands. And while the point of that is nice, what it's also saying is no matter what's going on with you, no matter for what reason it's happening, Jesus understands. And Jesus is okay with it. The problem is it makes everything okay. Even if you're doing things that Jesus said was not okay, He understands. He gets it. That's what they're telling us. And it's basically promoting a Jesus was just like us. Jesus is one of us. So everything is okay. It's all going to be all right. And while it brings Jesus into the mainstream, it also brings Jesus into the mainstream, if you understand what I mean. And it takes away your responsibility to trust in Him, your responsibility to give yourself over to Christ, because it doesn't matter what you go through, Jesus understands. You see, following Jesus means knowing when to resist outward influences. In Galatians 4, verse 17, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed about you. Paul was saying, you know, it's good to be zealous. There are people who want to win you over, to gain your approval. And being zealous is good, but it's got to be for the right reasons. Got to be for the right purpose. If we're going to follow Christ, we need to be doing it in honesty and truth for the right reasons. We also need to bear in mind that following Jesus doesn't mean passive gullibility. As in Proverbs 14:15, which is telling us to always question and to examine what we do. It says, the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. You know, being a follower of Christ doesn't mean that everything is still all right. It doesn't mean that we follow everything that comes out. We still test. We still try things. We still use critical judgment. One thing Jesus didn't say when he said, follow me, is don't question anything. We should still question. We should still ask, Lord, is this the right thing to do? Is this the direction I should be going? Am I following you or am I following my own ambitions? View everything through the lens of the truth. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You see, the world is full of those who claim to be wise, who believe the world exists for their taking, for their purposes, forgetting who created it and who gave it to it. You see, when we forget the one who created us, all we have left is to make the world our own, to get as much done to satisfy our own needs in this earth before it's over. Life is short. Get as much in as you possibly can because you die and that's it, or you reincarnate as a leaf. What kind of life is that? When we forget the Creator, all that we have to look forward to is uncertainty. Who knows what will happen when we die, we say. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. You see, being wise means seeing things as they are, not as someone tells you that they are. There are many things that are falsely called knowledge these days, from people who supposedly know things. But Paul told Timothy, don't give in to that. Guard your mind. And again, in Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. You see, this morning Jesus is saying, follow me. Plain and simple. Don't get bogged down by the world. Don't get bogged down by everyone all around the world saying, follow me. Follow me on this place. Follow me on that. Instead, listen to Jesus saying, simply, follow me. Follow where I want to lead you, to eternal life, to real life. Not always the most popular, not always the most fun life, but the most rewarding life. The life without regret. The life that will bring you to eternal hope. In Philippians 3, 17 and 21 through 21, it says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told, and now even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." You see, we don't just follow a man from Galilee wearing a robe, walking around saying nice things. We also follow the Savior that Paul just mentioned, whose power enables him to subject all things to himself. You see, following Jesus is the only right course in this world that will bring about the desired result. This morning, have you been baptized into Christ? Do you know him? Have you given your life over to him? Or have you done so and you find that you've fallen away, that you're not following the way that you should, that it's so easy to follow everyone else and not to follow Christ? This morning, whatever your need, we ask that you come right now as we stand together and sing our song of invitation.